See, in these verses, in the third mundaka mainly, next week I'll give you the summary. Next week, please see, I'll give you the summary of each chapter. Three chapters are there. I'll give you a chapter, summary of first chapter, second chapter, and also the third chapter, okay? Then it becomes much clearer for you. Today we'll go ahead with this verse. The values are highlighted here. In this third chapter, values are highlighted. Just now I told you, whenever values are highlighted, the importance of values is shown. That means values, it's not enough if we simply know the values. We have to live the values. That's the only way you can be in tune with the order, the law and order, the Ishvara. Why Upanishad has to make efforts? Why it has to talk about the values? This is what I don't understand when people say the Upanishad itself highlights the values, importance of values. Why do you talk about values? You yourself know speaking the truth is right. But it highlights, it shows the importance of living a life of values. Because that's the only way you, an individual, can live one's life in harmony, in tune with the universal natural law and order. That's the only way one can be peaceful, one can contribute for the peace of the world also. One needs to be peaceful oneself in order to accomplish anything, not to be able to focus, not to do the right thing, appropriate thing, and to be successful in terms of accomplishing anything. Whether you want to achieve artha or kama or dharma or of course jnanam and moksha, for accomplishing anything, knowledge also, for anything you need to be focused and you need to do the appropriate thing. In order to be focused, in order not to be disturbed and distracted, to do the appropriate thing and to get the result quickly also, isn't it? One should have mental composure. One must have the poised mind. That poisedness of mind is possible. The calmness of mind is possible. Tranquility of mind is possible. See, anybody can achieve anything if a person can be focused, clear about what one wants, why one wants what one wants, and how to get it, if very clear, and to do the appropriate thing. You may have a right end, but you do not know what to do appropriately, properly. If what you do is inappropriate, then still you won't get what you want. Isn't it? To do the appropriate thing, to do things correctly, to get what you want, you must be very, very calm and serene. That mental calmness and serenity you can win only if you have Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? That's why for everything you need, Bhagavan's grace must be there to be successful in any endeavor. Leave alone moksha, leave alone jnanam. Even to go to swargadi loka, Shastram talks about devayanaha, etc. And that, to win the tab, Bhagavan's grace, your life must be in tune with the universal law and order. This is the order. And how can you be in tune with, in harmony with the universal law and order? Only if you live a life of values. There's no way of being in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of universal law and order without living, without having the values assimilated and without having the life values lived. That is why to know the value of values, and Shastram also emphasizes the values. Even for this means what to talk of jnanam, the knowledge of the absolute reality, and moksha, the freedom which is already there. It's all that you need is the sharpest mind to take ownership of the freedom which is already there. Which is, we don't need to accomplish anything. And that moksha is the thing, utter fearlessness. And what is there now between you and moksha? What is that which is there? Moksha is your swarupam. Freedom is your swarupam. Limitlessness is your swarupam. Happiness is your swarupam. Sorrowlessness is your swarupam. Bhaya rahityam, fearlessness is your swarupam. security is a swarupam. You are the very security is a swarupam. Then still, if you are swarupam, then why it is not there? In spite of having security as your own swarupam, in spite of having limitlessness as your own swarupam, in spite of having fearlessness as your swarupam, in spite of having limitlessness as your happiness as your swarupam, still why there is something called samsaraha, bandaha, limitations, unhappiness and dukkham and all these things? Why? Why there is fear? Why all the time insecurity and anxiety and fear? Why there is fear? Why there is anxiety? Why there is... What is that? Isn't it? Even Shankaracharya says in one of his texts, very beautifully says, no, something is blocking. What is the obstacle which is blocking there? It's like a water is not created. Water is available underneath. Water is available, but it's not accessible. Available, not accessible. Water is very much there, but what now? There is a, something is blocking. So you have to remove that blockage. How? Dig it. How do you dig? Bore, isn't it? That's why bore well system we have. You dig, remove that which blocks the flow of water through digging. And there's a flow of water. So the digging is what now? Shastra study. You know, it's your own swarup, already very you. What is that blocks here? Just the ignorance. Ignorance is the blocking. Ignorance is the obstruction. Ignorance is the obstacle. Ignorance is the that which blocks. It needs to be removed, that's all. What is that which obstructs and blocks? That has to be removed. Then it becomes accessible. Fearlessness, swarupam, happiness becomes accessible. For that jnanam, for the removal of that thing, isn't it? You need grace. And for that also, mind has to become the sharpest mind removal means. And that sharp, that's why cognitive skills. Now the more you study Shastram, the more you are with the Punapunaha Shravanam, enhances your, really improves your cognitive skills. That is why first time when you go and listen to the Vedanta class, that's different from when you listen many times. Subject matter is the same. Your understanding capacity becomes different. So that's why we have... And above all, and for such a jnanam, definitely one has to have, the life must definitely be lived in conformity with dharma, because otherwise the vision, the lifestyle should be, what now, in conformity with the vision. That lifestyle only we say, we call it the culture, isn't it? The lifestyle should be in conformity with the vision only. What is the vision? Oh, this is what I had to gain, isn't it? I don't need to gain, only knowledge is gained. Not happiness is not gained. Knowledge is gained. Brahman is not gained. Atma is not gained. Knowledge alone is gained. Ignorance is removed, isn't it? For which the mind has to be, that is why Upanishad talks about, highlights so important, highlights it, that it is very important for one to live in harmony with universal law and order, the Ishvara. That is the only way one can be free from being disturbed mentally. That is only way you have to be undisturbed in order not to disturb the world. Otherwise, not only you will be disturbed, you will be disturbing as well. You will be disturbing because you don't know what to do. The disturbed alone will go for disturbance. Who disturbs? And that is how you affect the peace of the world also. Whether you contribute or not, at least you don't cause disturbance. There's a saying, upakaram nal apakaram pannade, isn't it? There's no upakara. At least don't do apakara. That means you don't contribute for, at least don't disturb. But it's very important, you be peaceful first, then you are definitely contributing for the peace also. This is a very important thing. For which, what should I do for that? For me, first of all, to be at ease, relatively peaceful. Absolute peace is in jnanam. I had to be relatively peaceful in order to discover the absolute peace, being myself, for which the only way, pantha, only way is what now? Living a life of values. Therefore, Upanishad, in this third canto of the Mundaka, the first section, it talks, highlights the values. Why it is said? He says, Satyameva Jayate, Nandritam, Satyena, Pantha, Vitato, Devayana, Yena, Akramanti, Rishayaha, He, Aptakamah, Yatra, Tate, Satyasya, Paramam Nidhanam. She says, Satyam Eva Jayate. That Eva, I told you, I don't know whether we did it last class. Satyam Eva Jayate. Now, why may a vellum? This is found in our Indian rupee note. Okay? Satyam eva jayate. Truth alone prevails. Truth alone is victorious. Truth alone wins. I mean, here truth does not mean the absolute reality or the ultimate truth. He talks about the value in essence, truthfulness in speech. So, vak tapas is highlighted here. Vak tapas. Discipline in terms of speech. Na anritam. Why? Because he says, Satyena pantha vitataha devayanaha. Leave alone moksha and yanam. Even to go to devayana means the yanam again is a path which leads to devaloka. Even to go to higher lokas and to enjoy the pleasures there, One must have done lot of tapas in the form of performance of rituals or meditation, etc. See, simply practicing meditation, all the time trying to focus attention on something and meditation, not Brahma Jnana or anything, simply practicing meditation, upasanam, and also the performing rituals, etc. Those things plus living a life, karma yoga, living a clean life, even will result in what now? Will result in the enjoyment of these pleasures of the heavens, in the higher worlds. Even to go there, even to enjoy the heavenly pleasures, to go there, which are time bound, which are not absolute ends, which are also relative ends only, which also come under the relative ends, and even then for which one has to live a clean life, in the sense one has to be truthful in one's speech, isn't it? One should speak the truth. Where he says, Satyena Pantha, even, that's why he says, the road to the path to the heavens is laid with what? The truth only. It's a poetic expression. Now, with that, so following the dharma, Harishchandra, you all remember, we have Puranas, we have stories like Harishchandra, no? Who just to highlight the value of truthfulness in speech, we have a story of Harishchandra. I don't want to go into story anyway. So, yena, rishayaha akramanti. And who are the rishayaha? He talks about rishayaha also. Only by the truth alone, only by following the truth, knowing the value of truthfulness in speech, following that value very strictly alone, Rishayaha, the men of vision, the great seers, He apta kamaha. Apta kamaha means what? Those who have got all their wishes and desires fulfilled are said to be apta kamaha. Nirevera petra ase udayavargal. Apta kamaha means those who have fulfilled, got all their desires and wishes fulfilled. What does it mean? Men of vision, apta kamaha rishayaha, also akramanti. You know, they also akramanti. Akramanti means what now? They also, they take the ownership of. It means what? They own up. That means they really claim. You walk in here, and Shyamji has to walk in here, he has to say, this is my house. He doesn't come here, having walked in also, doesn't claim it, still we will be using this house. He has to say, my house. Okay, claim it, isn't it? Like that, claiming means that we must talk very clear about it, what you're claiming. You can't just claim something which you do not know. So here he says, akramanti means what now? They can claim. They claim what now? They claim their own swarupam, being the absolute reality, isn't it? And for which also, he says, that is the ultimate thing which the truthfulness will lead one to. What is the truthfulness can lead one to absolutely? If you are truthful in your life, what is the truthfulness will lead you to? Will lead you to the vision of the reality, which is the absolute reality, which is moksha, which is happiness and fullness, which is existence, which is conscious, which is your own swarupam. How is it going to lead you to that? It will help you to claim it as your swarupam. Being truthful in speech will help one later on to claim one's swarupam being happiness and fullness, the reality. Means for jnanam also, this is very important to follow this discipline of speech in terms of, no, the truthfulness in terms of speech. So he says, and rishayaha, satyasya paramam nidanam. How far can satyam take you to? What is the distance this satyam will take you to? If I follow this truthfulness in speech, where will it lead me to? Where will I end up? Where will I keep on going? Where will I stop? Where will I stop, isn't it? Speaking, 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 all things speaking. When will I stop speaking? Isn't it? Speaking the truth, now I can use the word silence, will help you recognize silence. That is when you remain silent. Really speaking, there is no way of moving about in all this. Sorry? Satyasya paramam nidhanam. Absolutely where it can lead you to. If a person commits oneself to live a life of truthfulness in speech, isn't it? Follow this, definitely that needs what? Lot of alertness, even for fun, even for joke. You know, there's no such, that is, the value is followed means that will definitely result in blessing one with claiming one's own swarupam. Just moksha. That is why he talks about the apta kamaha. Don't worry, my phone is ringing. Apta kamaha. Apta kamaha means the men of accomplishment. Those have got all their desires and wishes fulfilled. Imagine, will there be somebody who would have got all one's wishes and desires fulfilled? Impossible. What does it mean? If a person becomes free from the hold of desires, then all the desires are as good, all desires are full, as though fulfilled, as good as fulfilled. Not having a desire is as good as having the desire fulfilled, isn't it? Not having a desire is as good as having the desire fulfilled. No desire, isn't it? When do you become desireless? You don't give up disease there. You don't undo disease there. You don't destroy disease there. Well, what happens now? Disease will all be resolved. When will the disease resolve? When you are free from needs. When will you be free from needs? When you are free from sense of inadequacy. When will you be free from sense of inadequacy? When you are free from the sense of smallness being centered on I. When will you be free from this problem of smallness being held on I? When you are free from doership and enjoyership. When you are free from ahankara. When you are free from all the wrong notions you have about yourself. When will you be free from all the wrong notions you have about yourself? When the notion is corrected. Then you don't have identity with the body, mind, complex, all those things. Adhyasa, adhyaropa goes, all false transference goes. When will the ahankara be corrected? When will the wrong notion be corrected? In jnanam. Therefore, once you have jnana means, you don't need to drive away, chase the disease away. Disease would have run away. Already disease would have gone far away from you. You don't need to chase them away. They would have gone away from you. In jnanam, disease go away from you. Because needs would have resolved. It is in need, inadequacy would have gone. That is the miracle. Understand now? This is the real miracle. Jnanam is the miracle. That is the miracle. Okay? In jnanam, all your craving will disappear. Insecurity. When there is insecurity, all will be craving, everything will be there. That is why that jnanam is the one. That's why rishis, jnanis are said to be apta kamaha. Those have got all their desires and wishes fulfilled. Therefore, he says, yatra satyasya paramam nidhanam. Rishayaha akramanti. Rishis, these men of vision, those have got all their wishes and desires fulfilled, men of accomplishment, really go, they claim as their own, what now? The absolute reality, which is ultimately attained through a life, life of truthfulness. That is said here in this verse. Then we go to the next verse. Having talked about it, he again talks about the Atma. Nice verses is
Brihatcha
Tade
Divyam
Achintyarupam Sukshmat
Cha
Tate Sukshmataram
Vibhati
Durat
Sudure
Tad
Iha
Antikecha
Pashyatsu
Iha Eva
Nihitam
Guhayam. Okay. Having talked about it, because in the previous verse, when he highlighted the value of truthfulness in speech, he said, Nidhanam, the absolute end which has to be, the truthfulness will lead you to is, Param Nidhanam, he said that one's own Swarupam, when he said, now you may think there's some journey involved. The Bhagavan says, that's why the Moses Rishis wants to make it very clear, there's no journey involved. He makes it very clear. Where is this? What is that paramam nidhanam? The absolute, ultimate end in the form of one's own swarupam. Why ultimate? Claiming which as one's own, one doesn't need to go for claiming anything else, is the ultimate end. Isn't it? That is one's own swarupam. And where is it available? where is the swarupam of everything is the swarupam of yourself. Swarupam of one wave, the H2O, is the swarupam. Swa means one's own. Rupam means form. What is one's own form of every wave? Swarupam. Look at this. Swa means one's own. Rupam means form. What is the actual form of every wave? What is swarupam of every wave? If every wave has to say, my rupam, if the wave has to say, my rupam, my form, is H2O, isn't it? If the wave happens to speak to you, my form is, that is, isn't swarupam of the wave, H2O, isn't it? Like that, what is swarupam of every wave? Same only. Similarly, the swarupam of every being, a living thing and a non-living, subtle and a gross, mobile and immobile, everything is swarupam of this body, swarupam of this mind, swarupam of this pranas, swarupam of this senses. Swarupam of everything is what now? That is what is swarupam, isn't it? One's own, swarupam is one's own nature, intrinsic reality. What he says here, that is, where is it? What is that swarupam? That is the paramam nidhanam. That is the paramam nidhanam. Absolute end, isn't it? He says, brihat. Look at this, brihat. That your swarupam is brihat. Brihat means big. Big is a relative term. Therefore, we are talking about the absolute. How can we use the adjective which is a relative term? Isn't it? An absolute thing which cannot be described, which cannot be explained, which is inexplicable, is implied by the term, a relative term, which is brihat. That is why brihat means big. And big means, you understand, that which is incomparably big. There's nothing which is as big as that. That means not only incomparably big, means how it is incomparably big. Everything in this universe is what now? Nothing in this universe can be compared to that, because compared to Brahman, the Atma. Why? Because everything in this universe is subject to threefold limitations. That alone is free from all three possible time, space, object limitations. Therefore, it is limitlessly big. Because it is limitlessly big, it is incomparably big. Incomparably, limitlessly big is what now? Brihat. Brihat. Then, okay, tad divyam. Divyam means what now again? Divya means effulgent. You can use the word divine also, because divine doesn't make many big sense, okay? Effulgent. That which is of the nature of effulgence. And what? There's nothing which is comparable to consciousness. Pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is the existence. Pure consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. And pure consciousness is self-existent. Therefore, it is brihat. And you can say divyam. It is self-effulgence. Now you understood even in Driktrishya class, Atthubodha class. Now we saw mainly to understand consciousness is of the nature of self-effulgence. Isn't it? To understand, I had to talk about the very word consciousness. Sorry, cognition. Existence presupposes cognition. Cognition presupposes consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, consciousness is not dependent on cognition or for anything else. Existence of consciousness is the existence possibility of cognition. Therefore, the existence. Therefore, self-effulgence, divyam. Tad brihat. Tad divyam. Then achintya rupam. Please understand now. Chintya rupam means that which can be mentally conceived. Headache. Imperceptible, but still chintya rupam. Isn't it? Backache. Imperceptible, but chintya rupam. Isn't it? Anger. Imperceptible, but chintya rupam. Sorrow. Imperceptible but chintya rupam. whereas, fullness, consciousness. Isn't it not? Chintirup. It is not available for thought perception also. It can be conceived mentally, because why consciousness is the very source of thought, very source of thinking, isn't it? Very source of cognition. Therefore, how can consciousness be an object of thought? Therefore, achintya rupam. He says, sukshma, not like it's big, sukshmat cha tat sukshmataram. It is subtler than the subtle. Oh, it is big, you said, because incomparably big, because limitlessly big, therefore it is big. Nothing which is bigger than consciousness. Nothing is outside of consciousness. Consciousness accommodates everything. That means, can you say it is subtle? But it is the subtler than the subtle. Subtler than the subtle. How subtle it is, you can know what is subtle now, isn't it? It is not available for thought perception, sense perception. Thoughts are what now? Available for thought perception, isn't it? He says, subtler than the thoughts. Thoughts are subtle. Even thoughts, that which lends subtler, what is that which pervades the thoughts, which brings the thoughts to life, subtle thoughts. Ennathai kaatlum nutpamanadu. Subtler than the subtler the vastu, more pervasive it is. What pervades what? Just the thought pervade the consciousness. Now leave alone everything else now. Thought is the subtlest of the manifestation. Human thoughts. Human mind is the subtlest of the manifestations. Isn't it? Now thought pervades consciousness or consciousness pervades the thought? Tell me. Very simple, isn't it, to say that. Now thought pervades everything else. Cognition goes and pervades. Leave it alone now. You can't say whether the mic pervades the light pervades the mic. What is pervasive? Light pervades the mic, isn't it? Similarly, every thought is pervaded by consciousness. Your consciousness is all pervasive of all the minds, isn't it? So consciousness is subtler than the subtle. Mind is subtle, subtlest of the manifestations. What is that material manifestations? And what is that which pervades and which enlivens and which lends consciousness and which makes sentience, which lends sentience to the mind, and which also makes the mind like a heated iron ball glow and shine, and then gives this capacity illumine also. That conscious is what now? Sukshmat sukshmataram. It is subtler than the subtle. Sukshmataram, that consciousness, vibhati, that consciousness alone shines as everything here. Everything, every object which shines means, that is what now? Shining of every opaque implies what? Shining of the light. Shining of every opaque object implies what? Shining of the light only. Simply shining of every object of cognition is what now? Shining of consciousness only, isn't it? With every object, when you say something is means, cognition is means consciousness is. So every object which shines here, every object of knowledge is nothing but manifestation of consciousness only. What is that which shines as every opaque object? Light. Light alone is manifest as the red color, blue color, green color, all the colors, all the forms, all the opaque objects. Similarly, we can say, we can look at the every opaque object as, the shining opaque object as the manifest light. You know that? Similarly here, every object is what now? Every object of knowledge is what? Subtle or gross, everything is manifestation of consciousness only. Do you get the point what I'm saying? Every object is manifestation of consciousness. Everything is, when you say, that is cognition is. Cognition is means consciousness is. What is that which shines as any object? Gross or subtle or visible or invisible, anything which shines as is what? Which presuppose what now? Consciousness only. vibhati, vividam bhati, that which alone shines as everything, in the form of everything, isn't it? Every object, vibhati. But when it is not known, if the consciousness is not known, what consciousness is, what Atma is, what Brahman is, when it is not understood, Durat Sudure, it is far away from you. Durat Sudure is very, very, very far away from you if it is not known. Therilen sonna engiyo, it is very far. Dura Sudure. If it is understood, what is this Brahman now? We know the simple thing. Asti is, anything is means what now? Existence is. What is that which is the exist, which lends existence to everything? Cognition. What is cognition? Existence of consciousness is existence of cognition. Existence of cognition is existence of what is. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of everything. That consciousness is what now? Where is it? Where do you recognize it? No? If you once you know the consciousness is the existence of everything, existence is the consciousness. Actually, if you know, every object, can you separate any nama rupa from existence? Do you want to go and search for Bhagavan, Ishvara, Lord somewhere? Existence of every object is Bhagavan. Isn't it? When you say any fan is, isn't it? Light is, heat is, now drowsiness is. Now what do you want to say here? See, this anything is means existence. That existence is what? Consciousness alone. Once you know, what now? Durat Sudure, if unknown, Antike, which object, in which perception you can miss existence? In your thought is existence is. Mind is existence is. Vrittis are existence is. Sense powers are existence is. I can see existences, I can hear existences, I can smell existences, I can taste existences, hunger is existences, thirst is existences, pain is existences, pleasure is existences, you know, sorrow is existences, and then objects are light is, sound is, form is, color is, flowers are, existence is existences. What is that existence? Which fraction you miss? Day is existence is. Waking up is existence is. Nothing is, still existence is. That existence is nothing but consciousness. Where do you want to go and search? How far is it? Is it the unknown? It is very, very far. If it is known, where are you? You are in that very existence. It's not far from you. It is inseparably close, nearer, isn't it? Inseparably nearer with everything you see. It is existence is with the seer, existence is with the seen, existence is with the seeing. Existence is with the seer, seen and seeing. Where is existence away? That existence is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, tadu iha, iha, antike, it is closely available, antike is the nearest where. Iha eva, in this life itself, pashyatsu, in those who see that existence as pure consciousness, it is available, antike, as the nearest self, distancelessly, it is available where guhayam nihitam, hidden in their own mind, as the source of cognition. If you know what cognition is, and what is the source of cognition, you know. Vritti cognition is reflection of consciousness implies, vritti itself implies reflection of consciousness, which is possible because of the original consciousness. The source of cognition, the source of origin of cognition is what now? You can say consciousness. Where is it available? Antike. Antike means closely, as the nearest self, without any distance, distancelessly, as the very you. Guhayam nihitam. It is kept hidden in your own cave of mind, as the very self, as the very you, as the very searcher, as the very seeker, truth of the seeker. Nihitam guhayam is available there. Where? For whom? It's available in one's own mind, the cave of one's own mind. Pashyatsu, for those, no, for those who can see. Pashyatsu means those who see. Those who do not see the truth, it is far away. Those who see, it is very, very closely, as the nearest, distancelessly, nearest, distanceless, nearest self in their own, the cave of mind, it is available. What is that available? Reality. Brahman is the reality, which is Brihat, it is Sukshma, Sukshmataram, it is far unknown, it is known, it is nearer, not even nearer, it is the nearest, it is available as the nearest reality, distancelessly, as one's own self, in one's own cave of one's own mind. Guhayam Nihitam. This is the Atma. Therefore, it doesn't involve any journey, no travel. You don't need to go anywhere to see, have the darshan, Atma darshanam. Travel from here, take a special flight aircraft. No journey is required, don't need to go anywhere. Available here, even though it is very you. Without any distance, antike, nearest means what now? Distancelessly, it is there as you. All that you need to do is what? Akramanam. Akramanam, what now? All that you need to do is claiming. You have to claim your swarupam. The wave has to claim H2O as its swarupam. Because you have to claim it. It's already, it is H2O. You can only claim something which is already yours, already your own, already is there. You can't claim something which is not there. Isn't it? Claiming of is always of something which is already there. Only question of claiming. For to claim that which is already there in your own, available in your own cave of mind, as the very you, as the nearest distanceless self, which is subtler than the subtlest, no, which is of the self, nature self-effulgence, that which you just claim, all that you need to do is follow a life of values, without which this claiming is not possible. Because mind needs that sharpness. The sharpness of mind which is required to claim what is already yours, it is dependent on how you live your life. Very, very connection is there. That's why there are some people who say, no, I'm just my being. I saw one person in India. He comes from Wembley. I'm my being. I'm just being. Smoking all the time, liquor, you know, drinks, and have a merry-go-round life, and come to London once in a while, and pay some bills and things, and again go back into India. Laziest person. Doesn't contribute anything for anybody. Take the bhiksha from here, the government, go to India, and there you have some servants also with your little money, and then drink and smoke and live a big life. No, I mean, he talks and already reading all philosophy books. And he also says, I'm just being. I'm everywhere. I'm all pervasive being. What is this? Come on, you can be your being, but you know, as long as you disturb other people, you know. and that you need punishment for that. You are punished, the disturbance has to be punished, isn't it? And actually they asked people there, people in our area, they told him, come on, you have to behave yourself. You can't say, you're a big philosopher, highly intellectual, you are beyond all these disciplines and things, you can do anything you want to do, and coming and spoil simple villages here around. You know, they have to be disciplined, you see. Now, why I'm saying here, this is how some people mistake it, but look at what Upanishad says. Satyena pantha vitataha. What I wanted to say. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.